Welcome to Behind the Numbers, week two review. Before we jump into things, just want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Queen City Breaks on Facebook group. They do a great job with their breaks. I join their breaks. They have a lot of single box breaks that are very affordable. Can kind of meet all the needs you're looking for in terms of football, basketball, and baseball. So check out Avery Harris and the guys over at Queen City Breaks on Facebook. To get started today, guys, I had to bring in Dr. Waters Brinker again to talk about a lot of the injuries. He got some big injuries to talk about that are huge. Around the hobby, and we have to kick it off with Tua. But before we do that, I'd like to first off welcome my wife to the show and also tip my hat to her for being the top points in our fantasy football league this week. So well done.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's start off with Tua. Everybody was extremely scared, you can just say, because he was carted off the field, took a very nasty hit under his rib in an upwards motion and slammed to the ground. Just kind of talk to us about why he was maybe carted and just what you're reading in terms of the injury and the length he could be out.
Yeah, for that one, he had the rib injury. So, I mean, obviously the concern with rib injuries is that your rib cage just protects a lot of your vital organs, has potentially fractured and punctured one of those vital organs, like we've heard before, such as Drew Brees' injuries last year, actually puncturing his lungs. So, that's always a major concern. It sounds like to me, because they were confirming there was no cartilage injury, that they were concerned that potentially there was like a dislocation where the ribs meet the sternum here. That can be dangerous depending on the level or which rib is dislocated and which direction it dislocated. But I don't think it was a medical emergency. They just simply carted him off after he had an opportunity to walk to the sidelines. So I think he was just in a lot of pain. Rib injuries are very painful. So it doesn't surprise me that they would have offered to kind of cart him off as opposed to making him walk and laboriously breathe, because that could be quite painful. So with his position as a quarterback, obviously there's a lot of like torsion and twisting movements in the torso. So the concern is that it's rather if it's unstable or if it's really painful to do those movements, it may be a while before he returns. But quarterbacks, it's not uncommon for them to get a lot of extra padding around the ribs so they can return a little bit sooner. So, it's probably going to be a week-to-week type thing with him.
Right. And I think the Dolphins came out and say he's basically day-to-day, and it's just like you kind of said, it's going to be about how he feels in his rotation of throwing, a lot of pain tolerance. It's going to be uncomfortable for a couple of weeks probably for him at least. It's just going to be a matter of kind of managing that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, the concern really, though, is like what good protection does he have outside of his gear? Does he have a good O-line? Is he potentially going to re-injure or suffer this injury multiple times during the year?
Right.
So that's a concern as well.
Okay, fair enough. So it sounds like kind of almost best case for being carted off. But Carson Wentz had a very odd injury in the sense that he sprained two ankles in the same play. Kind of got rolled on and then rolled over onto the other ankle, resulting in maybe they basically said a basic sprain and then a high ankle sprain on the other. You saw the clip, obviously an odd injury, but what are your thoughts on his recovery and just the injury itself?
Yeah, super crazy. Really unfortunate that he got wrapped up the way he did to be able to sprain both his ankles at the same time. The trickiest part of this is obviously going to be his rehab. It's very uncommon that you sprain and injure both of your ankles at the same time. When you injure just one, you really rely on the other for that stability, to be able to move around, to be able to conduct some sort of a rehabilitation exercises, to be partially weight bearing with fully weight bearing on that other foot. But for him, he's going to have to be potentially off at least one of them. The high ankle sprain is a pretty damaging sprain, as we talked about last week, and is talked about regularly in football. So he's got that more medial to high ankle sprain up here. It's going to take a lot longer to heal. And then on his other ankle, he's got the lateral ankle sprain on the outside of the leg, or the foot, excuse me. So that one will probably heal under like a typical time frame of 4 to 6 weeks. But then for the high ankle sprain, you're looking for 6 to 8 weeks healing time at least, plus with the weirdness of his rehab and how that will progress. It's hard to say. I would say at a minimum, you're looking at 6 to 8 weeks for him to return. And I'm interested to see just how, you know, when he shows up on the sidelines next week. Is he in a boot? Is he on crutches? You know, how is he going to be in a wheelchair? I don't know. Like, those are all possibilities.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be very interesting to see how his rehab goes. Like I said, it's really going to be all dependent on the high ankle sprain, basically.
Yeah.
And how he can get that other leg good enough to help rehab the high ankle sprain. So he's not, like you said, has to have stability from somewhere. And right now he has zero stability. And coming off that offseason Liz Frank injury that he recovered from relatively much quicker than people thought. A lot of people thought that he's going to miss the start of the season. So he's had quite a bit of foot issues already. So yeah, Easton will get an opportunity to see what he can do, because it seems that Wentz is going to have to miss, obviously, a good chunk of time from what you're saying.
Yeah, I would expect so.
Yeah. Then the next one was Andy Dalton. He pulled up, kind of going out of bounds. They're calling a bone bruise. They kind of feared ACL. The big news with that, I mean, you know, with all due respect to Andy Dalton, we're not collecting Andy Dalton cards, but we are, a lot of people are looking forward to Justin Field cards. And if Dalton missed significant time, it could be kind of Field's cue to take over that team. Just what did you see with Dalton's injury, and do you think he's going to miss some time?
Yeah, it's definitely a very interesting injury. Anytime we have a non-contact knee injury, you're definitely thinking ACL. That's going to be at the top of your list. They did confirm that he didn't tear his ACL, but what they did say is that he had a bone bruise. So if you ever watched, you know, soccer or basketball, particularly female basketball and soccer players, you'll see a type of injury like this more often than you would in a male sport, because you'll typically see those non-contact a little bit more commonly. So what ends up happening is when he goes to step right before he jumps out of bounds, he kind of plants his foot and has like a slight little valgus moment. And it doesn't take much sometimes, surprisingly, to do a significant amount of damage in a non-contact injury. So basically what he did is he had that little valgus moment, which means his knee kind of buckles inwards. And when you see that happening, what happens is the femur and the tibia, they come together and they collide. So it's called a kissing injury, because the actual bones touch. Whenever you have bone on bone contact, it's actually quite painful. And when you develop a bruise on both sides of that bone, or on either bone, it can be really painful. It's actually one of the things that is an issue in the beginning phases of rehab with ACL injuries, is a kissing injury. So it will be a few weeks, I imagine, for that to heal up, for it to not be painful anymore. So I guess Fields will get his shot at a plane.
All right. Well, I guess that's good for Fields cards owner, but not good for Dalton. The next one we're going to talk about, just because it does have some impact within the hobby, is Tyrod Taylor pulled up with a hamstring injury. And the reason that's important to us is because the Texans drafted a quarterback. As we all know, Watson's going through some issues in Houston. And so they drafted Davis Mills, who is a highly touted quarterback coming into Stanford, had some injury issues, but has always kind of had talent. People kind of thought he had a chance to pop. We're going to see what he can do. Looked decent last week, had a touchdown pass. But anyways, Tyrod Taylor, hamstring injury. Do you think he's going to miss some time?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Whenever you see a pull up like that, obviously there's some sort of strain injury that happened. The severity will really dictate how long he's out for. With any muscle strain injury, it's difficult to rehab, you know, without truly taking a decent rest period. We often see athletes that have hamstring injuries return in the season, and you honestly see them play hurt and have a reoccurring injury there. You know, because muscle contracts. So it's essentially, if it doesn't really take that time to heal, every time you go out there and you're really explosive with your movements, you're going to potentially, you know, pull those muscle fibers apart again and keep it really from healing nicely, re-injuring it, causing more damage, etc. So I would expect that if he does return within the next couple of weeks, if it's a rather mild one, you probably see him doing limited rushing. Maybe pick that up towards the end of the season, but definitely always something to look out for, I would say, because it can be something that plagues him for the rest of the season.
All right. Yeah, so I guess we'll see what Davis Mills can do. And then last thing, we don't really need to break down injury-wise, but the news is with Deontay Johnson, he avoided a major knee injury, which is good for the Steelers. He's their receiver one right now, and their offense has already been sputtering a bit. So, but again, Dr. Waters Banker, thanks for your expertise and giving us a little bit of idea of how the injuries are going to go.
Thanks for having me.
Again, another big thanks to my wife for helping us out with those injury reports. Those are obviously very meaningful to us in the hobby. A lot of quarterback injuries, so it'll be a lot of opportunity. So definitely good to have her on, give us some insight what to expect going forward. So I'll go through the weekly review, just kind of break down from the hobby like angle in terms of what's important of it, what I noticed from each game. It's going to kind of tailor. I know you guys watch the games and you probably don't need me to recap the games. So kind of just making my hobby takes to it. But, you know, the Rams big win. So that's big for Stafford's cards. Rams are 2-0 with two, I'd say, tougher wins. They look good in both of them. So, I mean, Stafford and the Rams are rolling. And that division, that's going to be really tough. Bears went ugly, but again, we talked about the big news of that was Dalton getting hurt. It's Fields era starts. We'll talk about Burrow a little bit later in the show, but the Bengals definitely a much rougher game for them offensively. Buffalo routes Miami after Tua's injury. Buffalo still didn't look, I mean, Josh Allen didn't look great. We're going to talk about that as well. But they did win 35-0 to get that, you know, big win to even up the division there at 1-1. Patriots continue to be tough on rookie quarterbacks. They really made Wilson look bad, which we'll talk about in the rookie report. And Mac looked pretty good. San Fran, big win in Philly. Lance didn't get any pass attempts or rushing attempts, which I thought was interesting. And, you know, we'll talk about Hurts as well later, but Hurts is a guy that I'm a little bit worried about his passing ability. Dallas, big road win against Herbert and the Chargers. Not a big fantasy day for Herbert or Dak, but overall, good game, really close to the end with Dallas getting a last-second field goal to win it. Darnold outplays Winston, so that question of Darnold versus Winston in terms of the, who's the bye right now, I think Darnold kind of answered that question this week, and the Panthers are going to be looking pretty good next week against on Thursday night against the Texans. Lawrence struggles against the Broncos. Broncos are 2-0, looking to be possibly 3-0 with the Broncos having the Jets the next week, so very interesting that the Broncos are getting off such an easy start. They've had some easy opponents, and they're making the best of it. Cardinals very fortunate on the missed field goal from the Vikings. Vikings playing tough to the end, were in line for a winning field goal, and they botched it. So Kyler and the Cardinals escape. And Lamar carries Baltimore in the fourth to beat Mahomes. You know, Lamar made me eat some crow on that. He definitely took over that game in the fourth and won it by himself with Baltimore. Can he do that consistently? We'll see. Still had some turnovers that were, you know, the throwing. His throwing wasn't great, but he did what he had to do with his legs, and he won them the game. I have to give him props. So that was a great game to watch as well. Packers started slow tonight, but they came and just ended up routing the Lions. So just kind of typically how the Packers do against the Lions, kind of start slow and then finish them off as they get going. So let's talk about the rookie production, of the week. They said Lawrence did struggle. He's 14 for 33, 118 yards, one touchdown, two picks. So you definitely see that. Denver's got a very good defense. And Lawrence came out. What's really scary about that to me is he came out on the first drive, an 80-some yard drive, touchdown drive. That was it. Basically, that was it for the game for him. So they definitely shut Lawrence down. So a little bit surprised on that. Denver's defense is back. They've been good in the past, and they're kind of coming back to being relevant again. Mac Jones, very efficient in their win over the Jets, 22 for 30 for 186. No touchdowns, but they moved the ball, and they used the ground game and Damian Harris to get going. So Mac Jones is doing what Belichick asked, and I just think he's doing exactly what the Patriots want him to do. Belichick's getting wins, and the Patriots looking respectable, and I think if he continues to play well, as the year goes on and he gets better, they're going to have a chance to make some noise, because it just, you know, you have to trust Belichick's defense and what that team has done in the past. They still have the pedigree to be a great team. So I'm very interested to see what Mac Jones does going forward. Zach Wilson, he hit the deck. You could say he's 19 for 33, 210, four picks. At one point in the game, he had four interceptions and five completions to his own team. So he really, really struggled. Just definitely had that tough game. Patriots defense is really good. Belichick has a history of just making it really difficult for rookie quarterbacks. So all that stuff just lines up. No sense to fire sales Wilson yet, but definitely this Jets feeling quarterback is not going to leave us until he makes it leave us with some good play, and we haven't seen that yet. Trey Lance, like I said, no stats at all. He didn't have any pass attempts or rushes. Jamar Chase, a slower game, but still a touchdown. 2 for 54, one touchdown on four targets. The concerning part with that, you know, and I think concerning might be the wrong word, but Boyd had 9 targets and Higgins had 10. So I don't like seeing the target share that lopsided, him being the receiver 3 on targets, but hopefully it was just a matchup issue and he gets back to being close to the receiver 1 for the Bengals next week. Devonta's 2 for 16 on 7 targets. We'll kind of talk about what I think of that with Hurts coming in a little bit later. Jalen Waddle, even with Tua going down, still had a pretty productive day. He was 6 for 48 on 8 targets. Kyle Pitts kind of had his first good chunk of yardage with 5 receptions for 73. Najee Harris, 10 for 38, 5 catches for 43 and 1 touchdown. And Javonte Williams is kind of getting more and more usage each week. 13 for 64, one catch for 10, looking pretty explosive. I think Javonte could definitely start making some noise if Denver keeps winning. They're going to want to run the ball. I think at the end of the day with Teddy, we know that he can't stretch the field the way that other quarterbacks can. So I do think that Javonte will get more and more involved as they go. And then the first game for the 49ers running back situation, a lot of them got dinged up. Elijah Mitchell also got kind of – they didn't say it's a major injury, but it seemed like he got dinged up. He's only 17 for 42, so not much from him in that regard. So let's get to the hot and cold players, just guys I'm gonna be thinking about for our buy and sell segment on Thursday. Again, if you can follow me at numbers_behind, rate and review the show for me and leave some comments in the notes. That'd be great to interact with you guys. Also, if you have a vintage card to submit, please submit me a vintage card so I can spotlight your card on the Thursday show. I'd greatly appreciate it. So I'm starting with the Colt players. You know, Joe Burrow, he's been a big buy for me. I really think that I like how he looked in game one back from his knee surgery. But he was 19 for 30 for 207, two touchdowns and three picks. All the matchups said the Bears secondary was relatively weak, so I was a little bit surprised by his numbers. I really thought it'd be more of a shootout in that game. It turned to be more of a defensive struggle. But Burrow did struggle with his three interceptions. Just one game for now. It was on the road against the Bears, so, you know, we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But I'll call that a cold game. Jalen Hurts, 12 for 23 for 190, 10 rushes for 82 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown was late. I think the 49ers kind of had him locked down most of the game. And one thing I want to throw in here too is he had one throw. It was a great throw. He had one throw to Watkins for 91 yards. So one play was 91 yards of his passing. And so really he kind of had about 100 yards other than that play, and he was 12 for 22. So he's right around the 50% line, didn't get a lot of movement. And the big concern with Hurts has been his passing ability. We know he can run. We know he's athletic. We know he can make some plays with his legs, but can he move the chains through the air? And I think both games, even game one, he did have some touchdowns, but his passer rating percentage was still relatively low. And so if he can't make those big hits on the long throws for touchdowns, his QBR and his rating goes quite low, quite fast. So definitely worried about Hurts in terms of a guy that people are buying. Jameis Winston came back to earth. Unfortunately, that first week against the Packers went away fast. Carolina took it to him. He's 11 for 22 for 111 yards and two picks, no touchdowns. So Panthers shut him down. Darnold won that better half, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, Winston, that was a bad game. So we'll see if it's just a bad game or if he's going to come back and show us some more poise next week. But definitely a complete opposite of his super efficient game against the Packers. I put Josh Allen here as a cold player. He just hasn't, you know, he had Pittsburgh first week, was a tough defense. Miami is a tough defense and a tough secondary, so I'm not sounding the alarms yet. But he's been slow started. He was 17 for 33. I don't like that completion percentage for 179, two touchdowns and a pick. I just want to see Josh Allen get back to that MVP form we saw last year, or is that going to be kind of a one-year deal for him? I think that's the big question when it comes to Josh Allen. The Bills are 1-1. They're right in there in the thick of division. That division's kind of everybody but the Jets has a chance right now, and we'll see where it goes. So hot players, you know, Derrick Henry, 35 for 182, three touchdowns, six catches, 55 yards. It was Derrick Henry at his finest there. He just got, you know, 41 touches, over 230 yards and three touchdowns. He's a fantasy monster. These are the kind of games that keeps Henry's value in the running back stable. He's a big guy. He can take the punishment. He can take the workload, and he works for it. If you see his offseason workout stuff, Derrick Henry earns this type of usage. And the Titans, what I really liked about it the most is the Titans didn't get away from him when they got down. So I think that's also important. Sam Darnold, he's had really good first 2 weeks. He's had 300 yards in both games. He's 26 for 38 for 305, two touchdowns, one pick, and the winner of the Saints, which is a big division win. And like I said, they have Thursday night, the Texans, with their starting quarterback likely out. Darnold's in a great position to go 3-0. So if you were picking him up for cheap in the offseason, it's just getting better and better for you each week. You probably have to make a decision at some point if you think it's going to fizzle out or not. But I do think that Darnold is in position to revitalize his career. He's a 2-0. He's making plays. He's got CMC back. He's got a good offensive minded coach. I really like the position he was in this year, and I think it's the best position he's been in his whole career. So I'm excited to see what Darnold can keep doing. I do want to see him be challenged again after how he looks against Texans. And I think they have Dallas and I believe Philly after that. So it'll be good to see how he can do the 2 weeks prior. Tom Brady's on fire. I mean, he's in his 40s and he is, you know, the Bucs are just rolling 2-0. they look like probably the best team in the league right now with Kansas City losing on Sunday night. And Brady had 5 touchdowns for 276 yards last week against the Falcons. Falcons are one of the weaker defenses, so take it with what you will. But either way, he's performing, scoring, and he just looks good. But we know how much his cards are worth, so that's not really changing much in terms of our buy and sell options. Kyler Murray keeps on rolling again. He's 29 for 36 for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, 5 carries for 31 yards, and a touchdown. Again, his drumbeat keeps going for that kind of MVP feel in terms of the volume and usage he's kind of putting out. He's a fantasy monster. You know, if the Cardinals keep winning, then that's just going to be more and more for him. I really think that Titans win over Seattle was really tough on Seattle because they're the only ones that lost in the division right now. And Aaron Jones just signed on Monday night. He turned in with for 4 touchdowns. So I got to mention him in the hot players at 4 touchdowns, 3 receiving actually, and 1 rushing. Packers ended up routing the Lions, as I mentioned earlier in the show. So just kind of getting right to it, guys. The 5 takeaways from the week. Like I said, good to see the Titans just offensively staying with their game script in like in a negative script. They were down by three possessions early to Seattle and just kept chipping away with Henry. Julio Jones was active again, got over 100 yards receiving. So it's really nice to see that offense kind of start to click. And they're coming into next week. That's a really big week with the Colts. And we'll talk about that on Thursday. But Colts are 0-2, have to get a win. Titans could really put the foot down on them if they can get up 2-1 to 0-3 on them. Next takeaway of the week is NFC West. Like I said, is 7-1. Seattle's loss. I really want to see how big that's going to be. I know it's one game, but everyone in the division right now is undefeated. And so every out of conference loss is going to be very difficult. It's a game you don't want to drop. And Seattle should have won that game. They had that game in hand for most of it. Fields and Mills are thrown in the fire. Can they keep the jobs? You know, the Bears are just kind of waiting for a reason to put Fields in. They kind of have it. Now it's a matter of, will they still put Dalton back in? I think it's going to be very difficult for the Bears to do, because I think the fans in Chicago wants Fields in. And if he comes in, I don't think they can just go back to Dalton. I really think it'd be very difficult. So will Fields get the opportunity to go the rest of the way, just see what he can do with their starting quarterback? Davis Mills is obviously a little bit different. I think the Texans are in a very different situation as a franchise. I don't think they're really playoff bound, but it wouldn't hurt for them to give Mills 3 or 4 weeks and have Tyrod come back slow. You know, Tyrod always seems to have these unfortunate injuries when he's, you know, got a rookie quarterback behind him. When with Baker, it happened. With Herbert, it happened. And now with Mills, can Mills kind of be a guy that we look for in the hobby? So my 4th takeaway is, should we be worried about Pitt? I mean, Big Ben has not been efficient. The Bills are a tough defense. They had a tough matchup last week as well against the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders might be a better defense than we imagined, but he hasn't really been Steeler-like. It doesn't seem like that they're moving the ball like they usually have. And I think a lot of that comes to the O-line. I think they kind of took their O-line for granted, let a couple guys walk they should have kept. And I think it's making it really difficult on that offense to get really clicking. So either that O-line's got to start to gel and start seeing some better movement so Najee can get some more running lanes, or Big Ben's going to have to put more on his shoulders throwing. And right now it's not looking like I don't know if he's able to do that anymore. So that's kind of a big concern with me when it comes to Pitt. And if Pitt's not as strong in the North, then I think that my concern with the Ravens kind of goes away a bit when it might be more of a Ravens-Brown division race. So we'll see. Darnold looking as good as a buy still, as we talked about before. That's kind of my 5th takeaway. I just think he's a guy that's still really cheap that you can get in on right now. And I think it's going to go up. But the Panthers keep winning. I think that his pedigree and his draft position that he went as a quarterback is going to sell. So I definitely think keep getting into that Darnold buy window. He'll definitely be on my radar for buys on Thursday as well. So those are kind of my 5 quick takeaways. Again, just a shout out to my sponsor, Queen City Breaks. Again, appreciate them sponsoring the show. Again, they have a giveaway for Ronald Acuna signed memorabilia. Get into the group, sign up for the giveaway, and get your shot at free Ronald Acuna signed baseball. The one I want to close with is with all the printing and all the different production issues, we just have no date for Mosaic yet. Mosaic's still kind of just in the background where we're not sure when that's coming. And so just kind of keep checking for those dates. Right now we have Donruss. Donruss is still hot and heavy, but I'm definitely looking forward to Mosaic. I really enjoyed that product last year in its first year for football. So I will be paying attention to that. Again, guys, please follow me @numbers_behind. I appreciate the support of the show. I will see you guys on Thursday. Take care.